Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. Probably Paul's third or even later letter to the Corinthians, but the second one that we have that he wrote to them. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. By the way, we were singing that song earlier about the blood, and I was just sitting there thinking, worshiping, thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. We don't even have a context to understand the value of the blood of someone who is totally innocent, do we? And I thought, one drop of the blood of Jesus Christ would pay for every sin ever committed by the billions of people ever in the world, because it was absolutely perfect, spotless, pure, and holy. One drop of that blood. I thought, what a remarkable thing. And we can't comprehend it because we have never had that kind of innocence and purity, and we just can't understand that. And Jesus was totally pure, totally sinless, and one drop of that blood pays for all of those sins. Remarkable. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 10 through 15. Now the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness, as you are enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. And by the way, I read that as one sentence. Paul has this whole passage as practically one sentence. It's how he likes to write. So take a deep breath. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many acts of thanksgiving to God. Through the proof of this service, they will glorify God for your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with others. And in their prayers for you, they will have deep affection for you because of the surpassing grace of God on you. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. Let's pray. Father, I want to praise You this morning with my friends in ministry for Your indescribable gift and gifts to us. Father, we do praise You. Help us to bear, to understand, to grasp the significance of Your kindness and grace to us in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to select a volunteer this morning for my question. And so, Martha, you're up. If I was to ask you right now to dribble a basketball, what would you tell me? Right now, to dribble a basketball, right now. What would you say to me? You would say, I don't have one. I don't have a basketball. Say that. You don't have a basketball. That's right. You don't. You don't have a basketball. But see, now you do. Okay, so now you could dribble a basketball, right? Right? Brock, if I asked you to dribble a basketball net right now, what would you say? But you could give me one. Say that. Say, you could give me one. Hope I made it. Yes. So, Cody, if I asked you to dribble a basketball, what would you say? But I'm going to give you one, aren't I? Yes, those are upward basketballs from Sarah Endel, by the way. The reality is, what I was trying to suggest there, thank you for your help, by the way, was that Martha's initial response probably is something like, well, I can dribble a basketball, I just don't happen to have one. But she doesn't realize the resources for doing that are right there in the front pew waiting. Now, Brock has got a heads up because he knows I just threw out a basketball, so he's probably going to get one, and for Cody, it's no big deal. Now, there's something that I do in my life that just never ceases to amaze me. I do this all the time. It's very silly. No matter how hard I try, I can never stop doing this. And I think maybe some of you do it too. But I have to overcome this, and it seems like I never can. But I'll be asking someone for a pencil while I'm doing some construction, and they'll tell me that it's in my ear. Right? Now, I know that's not happening to any of you, but I was asking for my glasses one day in the office, and they were on my head. I mean, you know, sticking in my hair. And I asked Josh recently for a hammer, and it was in the holster on my belt. And this kind of happens to me all the time. And I have a word for this that I've made up. I call it TRA. I call it temporary resource amnesia. Okay? It's temporary resource amnesia. I know I have all of these things. I know where I put them just moments ago, but I can't remember 30 seconds later where they are. And my hunch is that oftentimes in our Christian lives, we have temporary resource amnesia. We don't realize that everything that we need, everything that is required for us to perform or act or work on God's behalf or to work in the kingdom is in our very hands, is right in front of us, is perched on our ear or on top of our head or on our laps, and we tend to forget that and we tend to see the obstacles of the kingdom of God as too great because we have TRA, temporary resource amnesia. The text that we read this morning tells us that God gives seed to the sower. We know the Bible says if you're in a difficult spot and you don't know what to say, God will give you the words to say when the time comes. And that's referring to those people that are in difficult circumstances. That does not mean that if you're going up to preach, you shouldn't prepare. And when you get up to the pulpit, God will just give you some words to say. That has been misinterpreted by some. But the seed will be there when you need it, the Bible tells us. The Bible says that God not only gives seed to the sower, but that He provides the increase in the harvest. God does that. And the end of verse 15, Paul, after talking about what we read, says, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." And the question then is, a Bible reading student, someone studying or reading their daily quiet time would say, what's the indescribable gift? Right? Isn't that your question? What is it? Okay. What is the indescribable gift? Well, you can pull out commentaries and you can find lots of different things like many questions. We know that salvation is a gift, so it could be, well, our salvation's a gift. We know that Jesus Christ was a gift. It could be Jesus Christ. Some commentators say that. We know that Paul was collecting a gift for another church and encouraging people to give. So it might be fair to say that it was about that. The reality is, the entire passage is probably what Paul is referring to when he says, after he finishes, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." God provides seed to obedient sowers. God multiplies the seed for sowers. God increases the harvest around those who are sowing. God enriches us so that we can be generous. God supplies thankfulness. God supplies our need so that we can be thankful. Verse 13 says that through the service they glorified God. Question is, who is they? Well, they is the recipients of God's gifts through us, and they glorify God because of Christian faithfulness. And they grow in love because of God's rich grace. Last verse comes along and says, "Thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift." The gift appears to be the circular process of God providing seed for sowers to be sowing, for the gospel to go out, to lead other people to understand the gospel, and for them to share it. This entire circular process of the Christian life wherewith God gives us resources and we use them for His glory, and God receives the praise when that whole thing happens. And Paul just goes, man, thank God for this indescribable gift that I can be a part of what God is doing. This word, I've coined a new word this week, I call them a Paulisms. And this word, unspeakable gift, is andekaigetos, and it's another word that Paul uses one time in the whole New Testament, and it means undescribable, unspeakable. I cannot put words to what's happening here. And Paul says, I am so thankful to God because of this gift, which is indescribable. When's the last thing that you purchased or brought home or saw or talked about in your life and you said, you know what, I can't even tell you about it. It's absolutely indescribable. When Paul pondered this cycle, this circle of God helping us in His service and God getting glory for it as other people come to Christ and thank God and give Him glory, Paul said, this is unspeakable. It's unbelievable. We've talked recently at our church about goals or targets for the year. And if I have a goal or a target in my life, the question that I want to know is, do I have the resources? Right? Think about that. Do I have the resources? There's a goal maybe in your family or your business, and maybe you're a part of a company and the company's unrolled some goals. And in your head you're going, these goals are absurd for our company because there's no way that we have the resources to accomplish that. And it's different in the church because God has limitless resources if our goals honor Him and He's pleased to provide them for us. We don't ask Him, Owens, to prepare choir numbers without choir members, right? We don't ask them to sing without choir books. We want them to have the resources. We don't ask people to study the Bible who don't have one. We'd be happy to give the Bible away so they could do it. We don't ask the people to lead music up here without instruments. We want them to have the resources necessary to accomplish their task. We do not expect to accomplish objectives as a church without people committed to tasks. And we really should know better than to plan a course of direction or vision or goals or ministry without going before the Lord on our knees in prayer to get the direction and strength and tools that we need to proceed. Pray for your leaders of your church that they do that faithfully, because if we don't, we won't know where we're going. And if we don't know where we're going, we won't know how to get there. And when we get wherever we get, we won't know if we're where we're supposed to be. The Bible tells us that God provides what we need. I want to suggest to you this morning that everything that we need to accomplish the will of God in our lives is right in front of us. Everything that you need to accomplish the will of God in your life is right in front of you. Everything that I need to accomplish the will of God in my life is, as it were, in my hands. I want you to do something for me. I want you to look to the right, look at the people to your right. Everybody look to the right, look at the people to your right. You can say howdy neighbor if you want. Howdy neighbor, okay? Look to your left, okay? Okay, look to your left. Those are the people of God that you worship and work with at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and they are a resource for you. They are a provision by God to you to help and aid you in your service. The people of God right here, right now. Everybody look down your laps. Down your laps. Most of you see a Bible, don't you? Most of you. The Bible is a resource. It's a tool. It's God's gift for us and to us to help us to minister and to be effective in ministry. Everybody look up in the air. Look up in the air. What do you see? You see air. You know what is, what power, what person is with us all the time and is referred to as wind in the Bible? The Holy Spirit. We have the power of the Holy Spirit working through us and in our church and in our meetings and in our scriptures as we read them and in the people of God as we work with them. We have the Holy Spirit all around helping us. And then close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes right now. Close your eyes. When you close your eyes and pray, you have the power of prayer in your life, a resource available at any time. You can open your eyes. Nobody's opened their eyes. You can open your eyes back up. Yeah. 15 minutes later, we hear mass snoring because nobody said open your eyes. And those are the four things I want to highlight this morning. Resources that are right in front of our very eyes that oftentimes we either forget or don't realize or take for granted, that we have the people of God around us. We have the Word of God in front of us. We have the Holy Spirit helping us. And we have the power of prayer at any time. First, let's look at the people of God. I don't know how big it is, but that's the most people that I could like get on the screen from our church. But that's the people of God in those pictures. All through the Bible, God's gift to people has been other people. Am I right? The very first person ever created, poor Adam, named all those animals two by twos. He noticed that they were all together and that he was alone. And God's first gift to Adam was Eve, because Adam said, I don't have anybody. I'm alone. And God said, I'm glad you noticed. That's the kind of things that I take care of. And ever since Adam and Eve, God has been providing people for us as comfort, for loneliness, as a resource, as a helper in ministry, as an aid for us. Jonathan had David. The Old Testament had the prophets, people that God provided who prophesied the Word of God, who pled with people to follow God. All through the pages of the Old Testament, prophets prophesying, people helping people. Jesus chose 12 disciples. Jesus sent disciples out two by two, not alone. He sent them with somebody to go out to minister to others in the area. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, you know what the Bible says. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Nobody likes to be alone. People are so important for us that if you have a bad relationship or bad relationships with people, the Bible says that it blocks your worship. It blocks your worship. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 23, the Bible says, "So then, if you are offering your gift on the altar, and there you remember that your brother," that doesn't mean brother or sister, that means a brother in the Lord, "your brother has something against you, you leave your gift there at the altar, and you go, and you be reconciled with your brother, and then you come and offer your gift." People are so important. Relationships are so important that Jesus Himself said in the Sermon on the Mount that if you have a problem with a brother and it comes to your mind when you're worshiping, you stop your worship and you go fix that because it matters. It blocks your worship. And if having difficult relationships, having an unresolved relationship blocks your worship, imagine what happens when you get them in order and you begin to love and utilize and come together with the people of God to accomplish God's purposes. I know what some of you are thinking right now. You're thinking, well, that might be fun and dandy, but I have one of those relationships and I'm not able to repair it. It's gone too far. I've tried and it hasn't worked. The Bible would say that you should do your part. That's all you can do. You cannot make someone forgive. You cannot make someone be nice to you. But you can do your part and you can forgive them. And you can live your life in front of them in a godly way. That's all you can do. People are so important that our lack of good relationships impedes our worship. God's gift to us at Emmanuel Baptist Church is the people that we have to work here with us and around us. And you should cherish every single one and understand how it is that you are to relate with that person. Everybody's valuable. Number two, the Word of God. Right in front of us, in our laps, in our bulletins, read before the service, sung during the service, read at the end of the service, read, it's all over the place. We cherish and we look at the Word of God because the Word of God is our guide. It's our rule for faith and practice. When you don't know what to do, go to the Word of God. You're frustrated. You're confused. You can't find the will of God. You've worked on the people side. You think that your worship's not impeded because of relationships and you're saying, "Lord, I need an answer for this." Read the Word of God and God will make Himself clear. It's a valuable resource for us. The Bible says in Hebrews that in times past God spoke by prophets and lots of different ways, but now He has spoken through the Word, His Son, in our laps, available to us. When you're confused, when you don't know what to do, read the Word of God, and God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will speak to your heart. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and following, that all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and here's the big one, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God might be equipped for every good work. The Word of God equips you for the work that God wants you to do. Imagine that. The resources around you, the people of God right next to you. I never thought of it that way before. Wow, right next to me, the people of God here. I haven't thought of it that way. And the Word of God, which equips me for every good work that I have to do. The Word of God is the power to salvation. It never returns void. It is sharp and it is powerful. Is it for you in your life? Or does the Word of God offer no comfort, no power, no cutting-edge, life-transforming training in your life because you don't remember the last time that you have read it? Oh yes, you remember the last time it's been read to you because that was 10 minutes ago. But you don't remember the last time that you have read this life-changing, transforming, powerful Word of God. The resource is right in front of you. Number three, the power, the resource of prayer. You know, there is such a, I want to say plethora, but just all kinds of verses on prayer. I mean, you just want to search for prayer, you can just pick from one of any of 1,000 texts probably. And I just went in to pull a couple verses out to put with this, and I got Matthew 18:19. Again, I assure you, get this, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. Now that's a resource. Right? Now we could flesh that out theologically, and we could talk about how that does not mean a Lamborghini, Josh. We could talk about how that does not... No, I'm just kidding. But
It doesn't mean certain things, but we know that what that means is there is a huge power when the people of God come together, okay, the people of God, a resource, the people of God come together under the authority of the Word of God with proper discernment on where God would have us to go. And then we take that to God in prayer and we agree together and we say, you know, I think God wants to give us some souls this year. I know it because I've talked to the people of God. I've read it in the Word of God. And so, Father, we're praying right now for some souls for this year. 5, 10, 12, 100? I don't know. Well, we said 11, but that's just a starting point. The reality is that that's the kind of request that God can answer. I believe that if we believe that God would do it, that if we believe it's His will for it to happen and we pray for it, that's what this verse is talking about. When we become convinced that something is the will of God, that we see God overcome every obstacle for it to happen. Ephesians 6:18 says, with every prayer and request, pray at all times in the Spirit and stay alert in this. It doesn't happen every night, but oftentimes when I go to bed, the last thing that happens is I fall asleep as I sit and speak with the Lord about tomorrow's events. And I say, you know, Lord, it's going to be really difficult tomorrow and I want to talk about this here. And I just find myself talking to God. You know, prayer put the food on George Mueller's orphanage table, didn't it? Prayer broke Peter out of prison. Prayer and fasting in the Gospels cast demons out of people who were possessed beyond imagination. And prayer has saved this church from disaster more times than you and I will ever know. Hasn't it? Haven't heard from God lately? Don't think you have the tools to accomplish His will? Maybe God's not listening. Maybe you're not talking. Maybe you're not praying. Prayer, a resource that's right in front of us. Lastly, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit seems to be the way that God accomplishes the power in the life of the believer through prayer, through the Word of God, and through people. The Holy Spirit is the power that indwells us and enables us to be effective in our tasks. It gives us the strength that we need. In John chapter 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into truth, for He will not speak on His own, but He will speak what He hears, and He will declare to you what is to come. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that God might grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. And by the way, the inner man, that's where your battles are. I hope you realize that. Most of us don't fight so much for the outer man. We can wash that and throw some clothes on it and comb our hair. The inner man, the heart, the motives, the pride, the humility that we struggle with, the inner man, the Holy Spirit comes along with power to strengthen us in our inner man, the will, the heart, the resolve to do and be right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5 says, our gospel did not come to you in word only, but it came in power in the Holy Spirit. We should be careful to not be overly critical of those denominations. And yes, there are some denominations who have greatly overemphasized the Spirit and the work of the Spirit in the body of Christ. My fear is that because of our fear of that, we have underemphasized it. I long to see among our people, the people of God, a freedom in the Spirit, where people, the only explanation for their joy or their expression or their song or their actions is that God has just come over them and taken control of their heart and their life, and they're free before Him as they praise and worship and pray. The Holy Spirit is right there for us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, do not grieve the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I don't recall the verse, says don't stifle the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, it says don't cause the Spirit to be sad. And in 1 Thessalonians, it says don't
quench or don't stifle or don't throw a wet blanket on the work of the Spirit. I wonder if maybe we don't see the power of the Spirit working like we should because we have quenched it in our lives and in our ministries. These resources that we've talked about, these gifts of God to us, people around us, the Word of God and prayer and the Holy Spirit are invaluable resources that God has freely and generously provided for us, which is His undescribable gift to us to accomplish His purposes in our world. Bob, play this short clip if you would please.
On an island for 5 years with this package. I swore that I would deliver it to you because I work for FedEx.
That's very admirable. Thank you.
Hey, but by the way, what's in the package?
Nothing really. Just a satellite phone, GPS locator, fishing rod, water purifier, and some seeds. Just silly stuff. Thank you again. You keep up the good work.
Do you get it? Yeah, that's really what it is, isn't it? It's right here. It's right now, the people of God, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit in prayer. We have these impenetrable, strong resources to help us and to aid us. And they are God's gifts for our service. And my prayer is that we would not neglect those. You know, the problem too often is that we're mad at people. And we don't read our Bibles. And we neglect our prayer lives. And all of this grieves the Spirit of God and takes His power out of our life. Beloved, let's make use of the resources that God has richly supplied for us. Let's take them out of the box. Let's allow God to impart His indescribable gift on us by loving the people of God, by reading the Word of God, by praying to God and channeling through us as we pray to Him the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would unleash in us an unquenchable thirst to apply the tools that You've given us to use in our Christian life, to embrace the people of God, the Word of God, and prayer and the Holy Spirit. And Father, as we do, may we humbly see You working around us in ways that are indescribable. Empower Your people even today. In Jesus' name, amen.